We oftentimes have choices to make. And sometimes we don't know what the exact choices are going to be. But sometimes we do. So I've asked a little help from Addison Kelly this morning. So Addison, if you could come up here. Okay, all right. I'm probably going to be seriously upstaged. Okay, can you see here? In my left hand, I have a bunch of numbers and symbols, okay? And in my right hand, I have got a place that's got all the numbers and symbols listed, okay? I'm going to show everybody what you're choosing from, okay? So now, I want you to choose one or the other. Do you want what's in my right hand, or do you want what's in my left hand? Okay, there you go. Thank you very much. Okay. You can go sit down now. Thank you. She thought I was going to give in and give her the right hand as well. That comes later. It's part of the message. Within the choices, we always want to choose wisely when we have a choice, and we've begun looking at Proverbs chapter 3, in which we're looking at the benefits of wisdom. And wisdom, as defined in Scripture, is that which begins with God and is discovering His truth and His commands so that we will obey them, have trust in them, and thereby live as we should. And so within that, it's going to be, today we've titled this, Enjoying the Good Life, according to Proverbs 3, 9 through 18. It begins with a positive attitude encouraged. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, this is Solomon writing, and he's writing to the nation of Israel, in which they were required to go ahead and bring their first fruits to the Lord from every crop that they had. And of course, within this, then, it was just a way of acknowledging to God, of showing gratitude to God that they understood where the crops came from. The abundance they had was because of the goodness of God. And so giving to the Lord is basically then something that they were required to do. So are we. And to make sure that no one felt like I was being improper here, we had the offering before I said this. But very realistically, according to Scripture, the giving of our tithes and offerings is a test of our faith. Sure, we all have financial concerns. Anybody not have several dozen different directions your money goes on a regular basis? We've got these concerns, but in the midst of it, God wants us to trust Him because it brings benefit. It is generally true that if we are living a godly life, that there is gain in that, that living for God is going to bring blessing. You see that thoroughly explained in the covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But also we see it with Jesus speaking in Matthew 6:33, when He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." That's not just a statement, that's a promise. So we can see that Solomon is recognizing, he wants us to recognize as well, all good things come from God. He is the source. Okay, so within this, as we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord, it is not in payment for His blessings. Instead, it is a demonstration of our faith and obedience. Verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Anyone here ever resent their father's discipline? Within that, God disciplines us because he wants us to trust him. And sometimes I think we forget that this same God who smoothed out the obstacles in our road and is going to bring us to our intended goal, back in verses 5 and 6, and is the source of the blessings of our first fruits we saw in 9 and 10, that God is going to discipline us for correction. Now, within this, you know, obviously we as human beings seem to struggle so that physical punishment and verbal correction are hard to accept. But in God's case, they are demonstrating his concern over us. Is discipline often hard? Yes. Is it easy for us to resent discipline? Yes, because we think about discipline in terms of the pain. We don't think about the purpose for why it's there, which is to bring out the best in us. And it's within that bringing out the best that God is willing to correct us. If in discipline we're focused on the pain, we're going to be overlooking the benefit of God's correction. So if we despise, which another way of putting that is reject, if we're going to reject God's discipline, then we're going to miss the goal of what the discipline is there for, which is to create in us spiritual maturity so that we will be all set up to live wisely, enjoying the good life. And so within this, we can see that God does not discipline his own for our harm. Though his discipline may involve pain, it will never hurt us because God only has our good, our benefit in mind. And so we see that, well, let's have a positive attitude towards that encouragement. Secondly, superiority above prosperity, verses 13 through 15. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. It's real interesting here that Solomon begins talking about wealth. He's talking about money. And he's saying, you know, that wisdom is greater than wealth, because wisdom can bring happiness. Wealth, not necessarily so. He puts it right in the terms of rate of return on your investment. And for anybody that's contemplating the possibility of retirement in the near future, you are definitely concerned with a rate of return on your investments. And Solomon is saying here, there is a much greater return on your investment in wisdom than there is in your investment in wealth. That the benefits of having wisdom go far beyond anything you can buy with money. Wisdom is going to far exceed that. He uses comparative terms. He's saying that there's no precious metal, there's no jewels that you can put your hands on that can compare to the value there is in wisdom. And of course, within this, you know, then he's wanting us to understand this difference in a better return. It's much like he would be asking us, who would rather have an expensive, elaborate house filled with the nicest furnishings that money can buy? It's huge, it's elaborate, it's got everything you could ever want, instead of a happy home where people love each other. They like being together. Who would rather have the big elaborate house? Only the one who lacks wisdom. Because there's things that money just can't buy. With lots of money, you can involve yourself in all sorts of activities. You can keep yourself busy. You probably can even rent happiness for a while. But you can't own it. God is making this comparison here in which he's saying, you know, that the idea in these verses is that wisdom makes you rich beyond what money can buy. Living the good life, we think, is reserved for those that are wealthy. Solomon is writing to us to let us know the good life is reserved for those that are wise. Number three, there are seven advantages presented. I mean, you talk about benefits here, he's going to list seven of them. Verses 16 through 18. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Now, long life is only a blessing, is only a benefit if you're living well. If you're in pain, if you're in misery, if you're discouraged, if you're despondent, if you're living unwisely, there's no blessing in a long life. Now we can see here that the illustration is given, that wisdom is standing before you with a gift in the left hand and gifts in the right hand. You don't have to choose. You get both. And within that getting both is the very clear picture that wisdom is very generous. That's the reason the two hands being extended in gift giving, in blessing, are presented as they are. This is what wisdom does. It's a generous giving. Now within this we can see that as we're looking at this, it mentions prosperity, which is having plenty, which is having no want. The promise of God, as we see in Psalm 37, verse 25. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. Very similar to what we see over in the New Testament, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So wisdom brings prosperity. There is no want. Wisdom also gives honor. Honor is esteem, to be highly valued, to be highly regarded. To honor someone would be to serve someone because you esteem them as being better than yourself. So within this honoring, if you would, it's like wisdom is attaching a price tag to you so that you are marked up. You're of higher value. You're of greater worth than others around you because you've got honor. You've got a price tag given to you by wisdom. Wisdom is also the source of pleasantness. A little bit of an interactive part right here. Okay, we'll go back to the choice thing again. There's pleasant circumstances and there's unpleasant circumstances. Given the choice, you get to choose. Do you have pleasant circumstances or do you have unpleasant circumstances? How many of you would choose pleasant circumstances? Okay. How many of you would choose unpleasant circumstances? Well, it's unanimous. Given the choice, we're going to choose pleasant versus unpleasant. Anytime you see comparison in the Bible, it's making the point here. If wisdom brings pleasantness, then it goes to reason that the lack of wisdom, living unwisely, is going to bring unpleasantness. It's good to be wise. Not so good to be unwise. Moving forward then. Okay, so we see here that wisdom brings peace. And here, it's more than just the absence of turmoil. Because when we see peace here associated with wisdom, we know full well there is no peace apart from peace with God. The starting point of wisdom, the starting point of wisdom has got to be with a prerequisite: understanding who God is. Without understanding who God is and how we relate wisdom to it, there is no wisdom. Wisdom must start with God. There is no way you can start any other place. To start to be wise, one must begin with, I believe God. Apart from that, there is no wisdom. It does not matter somebody's IQ. It does not matter what kind of score they can get on a test. Without a proper relationship with Jesus Christ, without faith and trust in God, there is no wisdom. The believer has perfect access to all of the benefits of wisdom because they have the prerequisite established. They believe God. That is the beginning of wisdom. Any other place is not going to be wise. You can't reject the foundation of wisdom without rejecting God. You reject God, that's unwise. So that wisdom begins with God and grows from there. Peace thereby is a benefit of wisdom. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, is very good about talking about how that we have peace with God. So wisdom brings peace. Why? Because wisdom and understanding of who God is and what he has done for us is wise to consider. We get ourselves into understanding all of this about wisdom and that there is no wisdom apart from a proper understanding of God. Helps us understand then what he is setting out. To live according to what God has set out as truth makes sense. To choose any other path would be nonsense. Okay, so we can see that peace is incredibly important. Okay, he goes on and he speaks of this tree of life. Now, a tree of life, when you think of a tree of life, it's got the shade, it's got the cooling effect, it's got a great place to sit in a breeze. It produces fruit. It's lived a long time. It's sturdy. It's strong. It's all full of renewal. And the picture being both physically and spiritually. We can extrapolate that and speak of it emotionally, intellectually as well. That the tree is this picture of the goodness of God. And isn't that wonderful? And that's where we want to live. And so this tree is certainly beautiful. Number 7. Those who lay a hold of her will be blessed. We got a little extra time. Let's get interactive again. Okay, choice. Do you want to be blessed by God? Do you not want to be blessed by God? Okay, all of you who want to be blessed by God, raise your hand. Okay, all of you who don't want to be blessed by God, raise your hand. You know, I think you could ask anybody that question, never darkened a church door in their whole life. And they're at least going to be smart enough to know the right answer to that question. We would all much rather have the blessing than the not blessing. Wisdom gives the benefit of blessing, which is kind of like all good things from God. Wrap it up in a basket, put a pretty little bow on it, and just take out gift after gift from God. Because of the benefit of wisdom. Now we see here in this section that wisdom is portrayed as a woman. A generous woman. She's beautiful. She does not need to be highly adorned to be beautiful. Her beauty is unmistakable. She's strong, yet feminine. She's got a great sense of humor without drawing attention to herself. She comes into the room and everyone notices her. And everybody wants to be with her because that is viewed as a tremendous advantage. But who's she walking in the room with? You. Why? because you saw her, you listened to her, you pursued her, and you made her your own. And in so doing, though everybody else wishes they were with her, she's with you. And everybody is looking at you with all of these seven things that we just mentioned. Because though they may have previously felt living the good life was reserved for the wealthy, when they see you walking with wisdom, eagerly engaging life, they know without any hesitation, without any doubt, you're living the good life. Father, thank you for the Word of God that is giving us this picture of how that we can view wisdom, and the pursuit of it is of great gain. Lord, we thank you that wisdom starts with you. It starts with believing you. May we find ourselves trusting you. Because, Lord, we've already answered most of the questions, these comparative questions. And yes, Lord, we do want to enjoy the good life. In Christ's name, amen. Addison, and I have you come up here and get what was in my other hand as well. Okay, there you go. Thank you. You're welcome. Yes. Of those 10 lepers that Jesus healed and 9 went away and only 1 turned back, well, that would have been Addison. Certainly, if anyone has a decision that they would wish to make public, would certainly want to give you the opportunity to do that now. Maybe you just want to come up here and just pour your heart out to the Lord. We got a place up here. We got front pew. You can do it in your seat, wherever. But if you've got business to do with God, I trust you'll take care of it right now in the safety of the sanctuary. As we look forward to our fellowship downstairs, I know that probably Jason and Alex are going to hook up here with Marilyn and make sure she gets down there. And that means they get to be right next to the front of the line with her, which is a good thing. But please, if you're with us and you don't have previous plans of being somewhere else, it would be a real joy in our hearts if you shared in Christian love with us downstairs. Please stand. Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are and what you mean to us. Lord, that you have offered to us the opportunity to get to know this beautiful lady called Wisdom that will accompany us through all our days, through all our experiences. Lord, we want to enjoy the best life possible, and that's only in faith and trust to you. We thank you that we have gathered here together today as a church family because we love you and because we love one another. Bless our fellowship downstairs. Thank you for the many hands that have made this day possible. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the food to renew our strength and the fellowship to encourage us and strengthen us spiritually. We pray for the business that we will be having, that people will know that we are serious about Jesus Christ and building his kingdom here on earth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.